Shani Dror is an Israeli PhD student at ELU in Budapest who has represented Israel with her dog Mitos in dog trial world championships. As part of her PhD, she has established the Genius Dog Challenge to understand language concepts in family dogs and miniature pigs, it seems. Her work is also part of the Family Dog Project, which was founded in Hungary in 1994 to study aspects of the dog-human relationship. It's currently the largest dog research group in the world. The Genius Dog Challenge has been live streamed. You may have seen some of it. Shani Dror joins me now. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Now, look, is the Genius Dog Challenge still going or is it finished now?
Yes.
It's still going.
No, you haven't found a winner.
Definitely
still going. We're still going every Wednesday at that would be 6 GTM. I'm not sure which time that would be for you guys. Every Wednesday until the 16th of December.
And on the 16th of December, you'll announce a winner, will you? Or is it not that competitive?
Yeah. On the 16th of December, we have our last round, and then we will know who's the winner.
And tell me what you have for those who haven't watched the live stream, which is available, although if it's not live, people can still see it. Tell me what you're doing.
So basically, we want to ask in this project how fast dogs can learn the names of new objects. It's very easy for most dogs to learn the names of commands like sit, stay, down, stuff like that. But in our research, we found that learning the names of objects seems to require different learning mechanisms, and it seems to be much more complicated. We've been searching the world for about 2.5 years for dogs that can learn the names of objects. We try to train more than 50 dogs ourselves, and we find that this is a very rare ability. Once a dog does present this ability, he seems to be able to get the idea and then catch on really, really fast, and they can learn the names of objects in one or two exposures. So you just show them the toy, you tell them this is Mickey, they play a bit with Mickey, and they know now it's called Mickey.
So all the objects are toys that are beloved by the dogs.
Yeah. And in this specific project, what we want to see is how fast they can learn the names of new ones.
And what's the record so far?
The record belongs to a dog from America. She was owned by John Pilley. He was a professor for psychology. They are both, unfortunately, no longer with us. She knew the name of 1,022 toys.
That's an awful lot of toys, right?
Yes.
1,022.
Yes, he didn't remember their names. The names were written on top of the toys. I can understand why. I would also not remember the names.
The dog is cleverer than the owner, it seems. So all these toys were put in a big pile, and the owner would say to the dog, bring me whatever. And the dog would go and fossick through 1,022 toys and bring the correct one. Is that the way it worked?
Well, I guess they didn't put all 1,000 together on the floor, but this is pretty much the same way we do it. So our dogs don't know 1,000, but we have a few dogs that know 100 and something. And what we do, we put a bunch of toys on the floor. Normally it's about around 20 toys. The owner is sitting in a different room. And then you can see me during the live stream, I'm telling the owners which toy I want the dogs to bring, so it's random, so the owners don't know what is going to come next. They ask the dog to bring the toy. The dog goes to the different room, and there it has to find the toy and bring it back. The reason we do it like this is so that the dogs cannot ask for help from the owners, because dogs are really good at reading small body language, and like this we know that the dogs are definitely working by themselves.
And some owners may even subconsciously lend a hand to the dogs.
Definitely, definitely.
I need to say that all of these six dogs are border collies.
Yes. This ability seems to be more common among border collies. It's not exclusive to border collies. We did have a few other dogs. We had one Yorkshire Terrier, one Altebucher, which is an old Swiss breed, and also one Belgian Shepherd. But it does seem to be much, much more common among border collies. If you don't have a border collie, don't despair. Your dog might still be able to do it.
Border collies are known for, I don't know, what would I say, obsessive fetching. They are quite focused. Is that part of this intelligence, do you think?
I think, yes, definitely. Motivation is a very big part of learning. And if your dog is not motivated to play or to do something, he will definitely not learn. And the fact that they're so motivated for toys, and they're also very, very sensitive to human cues. These dogs were bred to communicate with people from very far distances, because they were supposed to be herding the sheep even if they cannot see the owner and they can only hear him. So these probably have some to do. I have to say, though, border collies, on top of being very smart, they're also very energetic and very sensitive. And these are not dogs that I would recommend anyone that as a first dog, and they're not dogs for everyone. You can see the dogs that are competing, they're basically never resting. They're always moving. They always have to do something. This can be a very difficult breed. So I really hope people won't watch the challenge and think, oh, I want the smartest dog there is, and go get a border collie, even if they can't actually handle this. So be honest with yourself if you think about taking this dog.
Are these six dogs in the Genius Dog Challenge, are they male or female? What's the gender mix?
We actually have three. So we have three females, three males. And in the next round, we have for each... The challenge is made out of two rounds. So the first round is going to end next week. And they had to learn the names of six toys. The second round, they have to learn the names of 12 toys in only 1 week, and we will have each time a female and a male competing against each other.
Have you perceived any difference between the male and the female border collies so far?
No, I have to say all the dogs are very different from each other. So they're all remarkable in the way that they learn, and they all learn very fast, and they are all super excited and high-drived, but they also have very distinct, unique personalities.
You said that it took 2.5 years to find these finalists. How did you go about that?
Yeah. Well, I'm very lucky to work with Dr. Claudia Fugazza. She is my supervisor on this project. And she gives dog seminars literally all over the world, from Japan to Brazil, Mexico, Europe, wherever you name it, she's been there. So she has a lot of access to dog trainers, and we've been spreading the word like this and also on social media. And actually the purpose of this specific challenge that we're doing now is to increase the awareness to our project. So if someone knows a dog like this or has a neighbor with a dog like this, we would be very happy if they contact us. We are searching for more dogs to increase our research.
And what is the aim of your research?
We have, I would say, three aims. First of all, we want to understand how dogs perceive the human language. And we're doing for this a number of different experiments. We also want to understand what makes these dogs different from other dogs. Because, as I said, they learn very differently the names of words than other dogs. And the third is to inquire into the evolutionary origin of the human language. If we find similarities in the ways that dogs and humans understand language, this might indicate something more deep about how our human language evolved.
That's very difficult, though, isn't it? I mean, I say orange. What does the dog understand from that? Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And these are This is why these dogs that have the ability to understand object names are so rare and so important for our research, because we can ask them this question. So one of the previous experiments that Claudia did was, for example, to ask the dog, does she understand categories? So the owner of one of the dogs participating in the challenge, he's called Whiskey. He kind of by accident, because he had a lot of toys, he would teach her the name of like blue ball or big ball or green, or let's say green frisbee. And then they put a bunch of toys in front of her and they asked her new toys and they asked her frisbee. And this way they learned that she knew the names of categories. So she does pay attention to the shape of the object. She didn't pay attention to the color.
Ah.
So for her, what you said, orange, doesn't really matter. But like us, she does care about the shape of objects. And she was doing this spontaneously. There was no specific training done for this.
Genius is a big word, of course.
Yes.
What these dogs are doing is responding to training. They are trained to do what we want them to do. Does that qualify as genius?
Well, that's a very good point. I actually wouldn't say that they respond to training. Their owners are not dog trainers. They did not do this intentionally. These owners are normally people that had no idea that their dog is doing something special. And they only noticed that this is special when we contacted them. It is, however, definitely genius in the way that they learn the names of objects completely in a different way than you would learn a name, than you would teach a dog a new command. So if you're teaching a dog to sit, for example, you would repeat this a few times. You would help him with your hand. You would lure him with food. You would use approximations to get to the right behavior you want. With learning names of objects, you say it once, you say it twice, you got it. There is something very natural, spontaneous in the way that they get it. Now, I do agree with the skepticism about using the word genius, and I have to say that yes, we're using this because it's very catchy and easy. Intelligence comes in many, many forms. The ability to understand names of objects is just one of them. This is only one aspect where the dogs are showing that they are geniuses. We don't know if they're exceptional in also other fields. We're definitely interested in understanding that. And the fact that we are crowning these dogs as geniuses does not exclude that other dogs, of course, have very unique abilities in other fields.
Do you think that you could explore their intelligence by means other than getting them to fetch things? I mean, there must be a whole range of experiments testing animal intelligence. Have you got those underway as well?
Yes, we have many different types of behavioral tests that we want the dogs to do. The amazing thing about testing dogs is that they're always so happy to participate in the test. They're always really happy to come to the lab. There's always a toy or food or petting or something nice involved in it for them. And we are still working on these tests. And yeah, there's also a full research that's like not, we also do in the department, not necessarily, not in my project, but I think people will find it very interesting, is MRI imaging and EEG imaging with dogs. Because dogs can be very easily trained, they're happy to just lie down quietly and let you have a look at their brain, which I find fascinating.
And what has it showed? Do we know yet?
This is not my field, so I wouldn't want to say something wrong about it, but they do see certain activities and similarities in areas of the brain between humans and dogs.
The utility of this is, as you say, to explore the origins of language. When do you think you might be able to reach some conclusions about that? Big question.
I, Yeah, it's a big question. I've already been asked, like, so in how many months or years? And I told them, science works in generations. I see it like a little, like a wall, and every research you're publishing is a little brick. So I'm hoping that our research is one little brick helping to understand the bigger picture. Language is a huge topic. It has so many different aspects and it involves so many disciplines. And I would be happy if we managed to just give our small contribution. We would definitely not be able to solve the full picture.
I don't know whether it was you or your supervisor, Claudia Fugazza, who said that other clever dogs in the hierarchy of cleverness, border collies are followed by poodles and then come German shepherds. Is that right?
I have a German shepherd who's really stupid, so I have to disagree.
But your dog? Is this the dog that you took part
that's
in?
That's my mythos, yes.
But it can't be that stupid. You made the world champs, didn't you?
Yeah, because he didn't think about doing anything else than what I suggested we should do. So, unlike smart dogs, which would always be like, but maybe I can do something different. I think there's a lot of confusion between intelligent and between motivation for learning. There are a lot of breeds that are just not that motivated to learn. So it's very hard to work with them. Border collies, poodles are definitely one of the most motivated. German shepherds as well. They really like their toys. They will do anything for a toy. And this is why you see these dogs a lot as working dogs, because they also have a very good stamina and they will just keep working and working forever.
People are, of course, sending me texts about the genius of their own dogs. And one of them is about a Jack Russell. Who knows, says the owner, when I'm cooking scrambled egg, when she sees the big fry pan come out and sits and waits for her offering. I don't think that qualifies as genius. What do you think?
I think this qualifies as what we would call just a classical conditioning.
Pavlov.
So, yes. So she already knows that this pan means very soon will come food. And I do think that there is a relation, like how fast an animal can create these associations is very important. So if an animal creates associations very fast, yes, I think it's a smart animal. That's why I said before my dog is stupid. It will take him forever to create this association. But so it does show us an ability to learn. So but it's not a complicated learning mechanism.
So your dog may be stupid, but it is obedient. And obedience is sometimes confused with intelligence. Do I have that right?
Definitely.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, definitely.
Interesting. You've always worked with animals, have you?
Yes. I've started with working with horses when I was very young. And just
what do you think? Can I ask you about that? People say horses are intelligent. I have my doubts. What do you think?
I think horses have they are intelligent. One of the biggest phenomena known to and mysteries is in behavioral studies is named after a horse called Clever Hans. Horses are very intelligent, but they are also prey animals and are very, very ruled by their instincts. So they would immediately react to any small stimuli that might get them scared. And of course, scared animals cannot think. But if they're not scared and if they're given enough enrichment, you see definitely how intelligent they are in different fields, of course.
Clever Hans, I thought, was exposed as being possibly unintended scam, but nevertheless.
Yes. Yes. So Clever Hans was a horse that theoretically was able to solve math problems. It turned out that he wasn't solving math problems. He was just reading the owner cues from his owner. I still would say this
is amazing. That's clever nevertheless, right?
Exactly. I still, because the humans couldn't see it, they had to do so many tests until they realized what the horse was doing. So there were many people standing there looking and not understanding how the horse is solving the problem. I think this is genius, not any less.
Yes. I mentioned miniature pigs in my introduction. I have no idea what you're doing with miniature pigs or why.
So the idea of miniature pigs, they're actually not as miniature as people might think.
Oh.
They are, they're called miniature. When they're small, when they're piglets, they're cute and small. When they grow up, they can get up to 60 kilos.
Oh my God, that's not miniature.
No, that's not miniature.
That's bigger than me.
It's smaller than a farm pig, which would be like 300 kilos.
Ah, okay. Not a teapot
and
pig,
they,
though.
Yeah. They live in houses with their owners like you would live with a dog, basically. They also sometimes go to very slow walks with their pigs. And for us, this is a very interesting comparison because you have two species living in the same environment but coming from a different biological background. So it's very nice to see have tests comparing between the two species.
And what will you be doing when the Genius Dog Challenge is over? The Genius Pig Challenge you should do.
Well, I've worked enough with pigs to know that that's going to be too much of a challenge for me.
For everybody.
Pigs are very smart, but they're not easy to work with because they have their own thing going on. So after the Genius Dog Challenge, we have a lot of other experiments planned. This is, of course, only just one little study that we're doing among many. We do plan to, because we see that people are so interested in this and finding this so entertaining, especially in these hard times, we are thinking of ways that we can continue to share with the public the way that we are doing our science. We are deeply passionate about it, and we really want people to be able to see how we do things so they learn more about their dogs and they don't feel like science is this kind of wall that you cannot understand and grasp.
I have received a text, Shani, that I don't understand and grasp because it boggles my mind. It's from someone called Kathy, and she says, let us think about this for a moment. Can dogs be multilingual? Can they be can they be taught to fetch these toys in a language other than their owner's first language?
Definitely. So,
but I mean, that seems obvious, right? I mean, you can say, bring me the table or bring me the tish, but as long as you say it often enough, it doesn't matter what language it's in.
Yeah, so the dogs, there might be some evidence that dogs do actually react. So dogs are kind of desensitized to their own language, and they might sense difference when people are speaking different languages. But the words that we are using in this challenge, we're giving all the owners the same names, and we have owners speaking Norwegian, Spain, Portuguese, Dutch, all over, Hungarian. They are all saying the names of the objects in something that is similar to English. So that this doesn't matter for the dogs. What might be very interesting for us in the future to see if the dog can learn two labels for the same object. This is something we haven't tested. But learning different names, names in different languages for different objects, that's not a problem. Also in commands, so even I can say my own dog knows sit in German and in Hebrew. That's not a problem for him.
Giving something two names and expecting the dog to know both, that would be really hard, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that might be difficult. And we also have sometimes problems if the owners had washed the toys, because obviously the toys gets very stinky. So then after the toys have been washed, sometimes the dogs take longer to recognize them.
I'm imagining that when you searched for clever dogs, You had a million people telling you that their dog was very intelligent, did you?
It's surprising. We didn't, even now that we're searching, we don't have so many.
Well,
but we do
I
have
can
a lot
give
of...
you some. I've got 100. Yeah. So I've got 100 texts here telling me how amazing their own dog is.
We do have a lot of people that are telling us my dog is very smart and they think their dog knows the names of the objects. But once we do the test from the other room, then they realize I have a very clever hands dog, which means that my dog is just super good in reading my own body language. Unfortunately, this is normally the case. But still, if you think your dog is smart, send us a message. We would love to test it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In your other work, just as a by the way, I read a paper that you co-wrote inquiring as to whether Asian elephants are afraid of honeybees, which is handy. This would be a handy thing, right, if you want to deter the Asian elephants from trampling your crops or eating them. What did you decide?
Yes. Well, unfortunately, we decided they were not scared of honeybees. I have some footage of the elephants knocking the hives up, like playing football with their, like kicking the hives and flipping them with their trunks. So they didn't seem to be very scared of the honeybees. This was the problem with elephants in Asia, is that they raid crop fields, and one elephant can cause horrible damage, can ruin a farmer's livelihood for the whole year. So we were searching for different methods that are cheap to prevent the elephants from coming into the crop fields. Unfortunately, in my study, this didn't seem to work. There were other studies that suggested differently.
Good to know that honeybees don't deter elephants. I will bear that in mind. I have a text from Sarah, finally, who says, we had a dog who, when her ball got stuck in a tree, found a stick and tried to dislodge it. That qualifies as genius, doesn't it?
That's definitely a special case, because this is what we would consider tool use. And I don't know of any tool use evidence in dogs. There is what we call social tool use, is when there is a problem and our dog is using us as a tool to solve the problem. But actual tool use, like picking up a stick and using this to solve a problem and get the toy out, this is definitely rare. It's a
Excellent.
Very interesting report.
Thank you for that. They can go and I suspect, judging by the tense used in the text, the dog is no longer with us. But nevertheless, Shani, it's lovely to talk to you. Shani Drawer is a PhD student at ELU.